Great job. Thank you all. Praise the Lord. I believe I'm still clinging to that old rugged cross. That'll get the job done. That'll get us home. Thank the Lord for the cross. You know, only God, only Jesus can take something as horrible as a cross and make it into something beautiful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Anybody thankful for the cross? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn, I want to read a verse out of 2 John. We'll read verse 4. And then I want to read a verse of 2 Corinthians 4:18. Wanna still on the thoughts of walking and walking in the truth, and got a Lord last night. I was going to pick up and carry on, and the Lord just throwed something else in the mix. So I don't know. Let's hang on. We'll see what's going to happen. But if you would stand with me, in 2 John, the Bible said there in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Of course, we looked and talked last week about walking and about it being the way of life and the way that we conduct our lives. And it's our walk of life, our who we are. And we also read, if you remember, in the book of Amos that you can't walk together unless you're in agreement. So we have to be in agreement with the Lord over some things. We talked about being in agreement with Him over sin last week. And so today, and we talked about worship last Sunday evening, and today we're going to talk about walking in holiness and in the discipline of the Lord and living a disciplined life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your many wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and taking care of us the way that you do. I thank you for each one that's here this morning. And Lord, and I know it's no mistake. We're not here by an accident. Father, you have appointed a time, and we're here at the appointed time for the appointed message, for the appointed song we just heard. Wow. Lord, we do thank you for the privilege of being in this crowd today. And God, I ask you to anoint. I ask you to get rid of the devil. I ask you to give us a receptive hearing and open our ears and our hearts to be able to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Lord, we ask you for these blessings. Please, God, hide the old preacher boy. Let the real preacher show up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. In this verse that read here in 2 Corinthians, I'll probably get into it, and if not, I will this evening. We get into the walking in the holiness and walking in the Spirit, but the Lord disturbed me this way to start this message out this morning. And here in 2 Corinthians it said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, I'm afraid that so often that we don't have an eternal perspective
in our lives. We look at the next hill. And we can see as far as we can see over the hill. And then we don't know what's over there. And we can see as far as the curve and what comes around the curve. And that is our vision. And I'm afraid that as Christians, we're the same way, that our vision is temporary. That our sights and our thoughts so often is on temporary things, and that we base our goals and base our ambitions upon the temporary. Things that we can handle, things that we can see, things that you can't see. We've been told that it's better to get a bird in hand and have two in a bush. And that is the way we think, and that's our thinking, and we're temporarily minded. Our perspective is not as on eternal things like it ought to be, I'm afraid, so often. And to get the gist of this and what I'm wanting to talk about, we've been talking about walking with God and walking in the Spirit and walking with God. See, before we can truly walk with God and be in agreement with Him, we've got to have an eternal vision. We've got to quit thinking about the temporal things and the things that's going to pass away, and have our minds open to the heavenly things. And get our vision far greater than what we see, where we live, where we work. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, If ye then be risen with Christ. How many's in here saved and on the way to heaven? Guess what? You're risen with Christ. You've been buried by the death, and you've been raised into the newness of life. He says here, if you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. If I have been risen with Christ, and He is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, where should my mind be? Amen. My mind shouldn't be on the earthly things. My mind shouldn't be what's going on down here. My mind ought to be already made in heaven. My mind and my thoughts and everything I contemplate and my whole being ought to be about Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, without Him, I'm doomed and on my way to hell. And He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. He deserves everything that we could muster up this morning and sing praises to His name for what He has done for us. See, that we look at things differently. And we as Christians and ministers of the gospel, you might say, well, you're the minister. No, we're all ministers. We're all preachers. We're encouraged to look at things with a heavenly perspective. I want to take your mind, and if you want to turn with me, you can, to 2 Kings. I want to tell you a story, and I want to read you a couple verses. But in 2 Kings, Elisha, the king of Syria, said, "All right, I want you men to meet over here. And when the king of Israel comes through, y'all overtake him. We're going to topple Israel." Well, Elisha went to the king of Israel and said, "Don't go down there. They're waiting on you." Well, then word got back to the king of Syria, and he called all his people together, and he said, "Now, wait a minute. Something's going on here. Somebody in here is telling Israel what's going on." One of the guys spoke up and said, "No, king. He's a prophet down there. He's a man of God down there. And God tells him what you say in your bedchamber. When you in your bedroom, what you talk about, God tells him all about it." He said, "We're going to take this guy out. Find out where he is. We're going to take him out." So they gather up. They come out, find where he is. They gather all around him. They've got chariots and horses, and they're ready to wipe him out. Well, the prophet's servant was with him. He looked out and he said, "Oh, what are we going to do? And the prophet said, don't worry. There's more for us than they are against us. And the servant said, now you're a prophet and a man of God, but you ain't no good at math. You sure might have God's word, but you sure ain't nothing. You sure can't count. Well, let me read you in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Whew, glory, hallelujah. I tell you, I just felt the Holy Ghost. Boy, I tell you, we need some spiritual eyes open today. We need God to touch our eyesight and give us some spiritual vision instead of temporary earthly vision. And he said that touch his eyes, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, did the angels and these chariots just show up at that time? No, they've been there. He couldn't see it. He didn't have a heavenly perspective. He didn't have a spiritual vision. He was looking at the temporary. He was looking at tangible, earthly things. He said, we don't have a chance, Elisha. We're doomed. They're coming down in on us, and we're going to get... Elisha said, you don't see what I see. Whew, praise the Lord. And see this morning, how is our vision? What are we seeing? Is our things temporary minded? Or is the things tangible? Is what's causing fear in our lives something temporary? If it is, don't worry about it. Because if it's not eternal, heavenly matters, it's going to burn up one day. So if it, as a former pastor of mine used to say, if it don't matter in eternity, it don't matter. I'm going to say that again. If it don't matter in eternity, then it don't matter. These earthly things, these temporary things, it's going to be here for a season just like we are, and whoof. But what's in heaven is going to be there forever and ever. Glory, hallelujah. His word's forever settled in heaven. I tell you, he sits upon his throne, and the world's his footstool, and he's Almighty God, and he saved our souls. Praise his holy name this morning. See, I'm not saying now this morning that we're going to start seeing demons and angels and all this going on. You might sometime, but probably not. But our perspective and our vision needs to be on the things above. Let me ask you something. How much of the day do you spend thinking about Jesus? How much of the day do you spend thinking about heavenly things? How much of the day do you spend thinking about the Word of God? The Bible said meditate on it day and night. How much time do we spend meditating on His Word, reading it, thinking about it? Going all day, how long to think about Jesus in heaven, thinking about our loved ones in heaven, thinking about going home. I tell you what, the more we start thinking about home, the more we're going to want to go there. Amen. And the more we want to go there, the more we're going to start acting like Jesus. Amen? Amen? And see what happens to us, that we get so much mess, so much confusion, and so much things in our mind and on our hearts that don't matter. And we forget and don't think about what does matter. See, that's a lie out of the pits of hell. Satan tries to blind our eyes and throw us off and get us worrying. And I mentioned it in Sunday school, but I seen the church sign yesterday. It says, sometimes God says, wait. But he never says worry. Amen? Why do we worry then? We question God when we worry. If God says it's going to be all right, I've got this, and then I say, oh, law. See, I'm looking through the temporary eyes. I'm looking through earthly, fleshly eyes instead of spiritual eyes. And I'm not got my eyes pointing toward Jesus and the old rugged cross and heaven. I've got my eyes pointing at my circumstances. Amen? And just like Goliath, when David stood in front of Goliath and him 9'6", almost 10 foot tall, all of Israel was standing and trembling at this one man. This little redneck boy out of the mountains come down there with a few rocks in his pocket and a sling. They were comparing themselves to the giant. And David showed up and started comparing the giant to God. Amen? See, there, and when our giants come, and when our troubles and our problems come, instead of face ask them, just compare them to God. Amen. Woo, glory, hallelujah. He'll get small in a minute, Jim. He'll get little pretty quick when he gets in the presence of Almighty God, the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. Woo! One and when Moses second hit the Red Sea with the rod, and the sea rolled back like a scroll. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, we'll just take a recess and shout a little bit right there. See, when we get in our minds that this world is a brief, was it James said, life is like a vapor. A vapor, and what he's talking about is a fog. And it's like a fog, and that fog, man, it might be pretty dark there about 6 o'clock or as soon as day breaks, but when that sun comes out, the old saying is it burns that fog away pretty quick, don't it? That's the way he's compared life. That's the way we ought to compare the things, the temporary things of this world. Don't drive your tent pegs too deep. Don't get too involved in the things of the world. Don't get so involved in earthly matters that we lose our heavenly sight. I don't never want to get to a point to where I say, well, I'll tell you one on me and as a little boy. I'm not, Rhonda can take a break. I'm not going to talk about her. Mom and some ladies at church, I grew up in, used to get together and pray 2, 3, 4 times a week. Maybe every day. Mom didn't get to, but I was with her one time, and they got talking about heaven. Talking about going to heaven. And I'm telling you, they was talking surreal. I thought it was going to happen right then. Now, I'm serious. I mean, they had me convinced I was ready for Jesus to part, this come through the sky any moment. And I said, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to Granny's and eat dinner. Dale knows what I'm talking about, Granny's dinner. Man, her chicken, whoo. But I said, I don't go to Granny's and eat dinner. See, I don't want anything in my life that I say I really don't want Jesus to come back right now because I'm too involved in this. I'm too involved in my career. I'm too involved in my family. I'm too involved in the pleasures of sin. I'm too involved in the amusements of the world. I'm too involved in alcoholism. I'm too involved with drugs. I'm too involved with sexual impurity. I'm too involved. I don't really want Jesus to come. I don't want to be there. How about you? I wanted a slate to be clean, and I want to be in good standings with the Lord when He comes. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, I want you to get this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Or in holy living? If it don't matter, it don't matter. That's easy said. I can get up here and preach that good. In the morning, it'd be a different world for me, won't it? Looking for and hasting until the day. See there, and I'm afraid that even as Christians, we've lost sight. We've quit looking for Him. They said, here in this verse, they're saying this chapter, they're saying, well, the Lord promised He's coming, but He ain't showed up. They talked about it a long time. They've been talking about it for 2,000 years. Where's He at? Looking and hasting unto the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, man, oh life, we've been talking about the promise. We talked about the promise, son, this morning. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, He's saying, well, the reason Jesus hadn't come back is because He's long-suffering and He don't want nobody to go to hell. But the heaven and earth's going to pass away. How ought we to conduct ourselves as Christians in light and in view, in our mind, that this is temporary? Jesus went away and He's coming again. In view of that. Now I'm saying we should be involved, but we shouldn't flip out over who's the president of the United States. God's got that. We shouldn't flip out over some other nation. We shouldn't flip out over what's going on and the things around us. Pray about it. Be concerned about it, but don't let it engulf our minds. Don't let it engulf our hearts. And don't let it bring us down and that we lose our heavenly vision. Because all of this stuff that we worry about ain't going to matter. There is no 401ks in heaven. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. There is the only mansion in heaven ain't built by man. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I heard of a man that died and he wanted to carry his gold, his treasure into heaven with him. Peter said, "What you got there?" And he said, "I got my treasure. Let me see." And he said, "You brought pavement?" Amen. Amen. See, all this stuff don't matter. Who's going to win the World Series? Who won the Super Bowl? Who won the Women's World Cup? Who's the best college football team? All of these, it don't matter. It's okay for entertainment. It's okay, but let's not get too carried away with it. I tell you what matters. If Jesus Christ came and gave Himself and died on the cross for us to be saved, arose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is coming back to get His. Glory, hallelujah. There's what we ought to be concerned about. And not only us, everybody around us. See, on the other hand of this thinking, eternally thinking, is that we think of heaven and we thank all the blessed promises of heaven and how good it is. But on the other hand, you can turn over Revelation chapter 20. And it's coming a judgment day. And the ones that's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will spend that eternity in hell. Now, I like to think of on the good things, but if we think on reality, there's a hell to shun. The Bible says, "Strait is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that enter thereat. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there is that go thereat." Whew. See, if we get too carried away with the things of this world and the earthly matters, we lose our spiritual vision and we lose the concern over other people's souls. Man, the Lord hit me with that right between the eyes this morning. See, a lot of times we get carried away, and we've got legitimate quarrels. And we've got legitimate gripes and arguments. But these souls hanging in the balance that we just forget about because we're too worried about who got drafted to Tennessee Volunteers. We're too concerned that LeBron James has now got Anthony Davis with them and they're loaded in L.A. And the neighbor's going to hell. And I'm concerned about a ball game. I'm not throwing knocking sports, don't get me wrong. I'm one of the probably biggest sports fan in here. When it comes to Tennessee, I'm all in. But I'm telling you, we can get too carried away. Things that don't matter. If Tennessee never plays another ball game, that ain't going to matter a thing in heaven. If they never run another NASCAR race, that won't hinder heaven. If they never snap another football, Brother Jim, it won't matter to Jesus in heaven. If a stock market crashes today and everybody loses everything, God, that don't make a hill of beans in heaven. Because God owns it all anyway. What matters is we've got it nailed down here. Because once we take that last breath and that heart quits beating, we have no more opportunities. Only opportunity we have, as long as we're alive, call upon the Lord while ye still can. See, here Peter's talking about what kind of conversation, what kind of behavior. He said, seeing and all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conversation or your holy walk and godliness? All that matters in all this stuff is that you are a Christian and you walk like one and you act like one. That you continue to walk with Jesus Christ. That holy walk, that's all that matters is what he's saying. See, anticipating a great homecoming ought to cause us to live spotless lives. When we look in light of eternity, you might say, well, I'm not happy here. Good. Boy, that's not popular. With I got some looks that time. Oh, I better not say that no more. So if we're not happy here, then we'll be expecting something greater. If we get the problem is the Bible says in the Old Testament, for they was at ease in Zion. And when we get at ease in Zion, we get comfortable. See, a few years ago, we didn't have this stuff on the back. And the air condition was the local funeral home supplied the air conditioners. Amen? You turn the air conditioner off and take the padding off the pews, how many of us will be here? Amen? We're comfortable. We're at ease in Zion. We're happy being Americans. We're happy with our lives. We're happy with the way things are going. We've done well.
Boy, the Lord's really blessed me. Check this out.
And what happens when we get happy is we lose sight of heaven. It messes our vision, our spiritual vision up, and we don't see the angels encamped around about us like Elisha did. I want to read you one thing and then, well, then whatever. I'm not going to say. How many's ever heard of Johnny Erickson Tata? She's wrote 40 books, I believe. She was a very good motivational speaker. In the 60s, I believe it was, she had a diving accident, and she's a quadriplegic. And she suffered for a while through a lot of problems, but then she nailed it down. And this is what she wrote. When a Christian realizes his citizenship is in heaven, he begins acting as a responsible citizen of earth. He invests wisely in relationships because he knows they're eternal. His conversations, goals, and motives become pure and honest because he realizes these will have a bearing on everlasting reward. He gives generously of time, money, and talent because he's laying up treasures for eternity. He spreads the good news of Christ because he longs to fill heaven's ranks with his friends and neighbors. All this serves the pilgrim well, not only in heaven, but on earth, for it serves everyone around him. Now, heaven is far greater than us. We can't imagine what heaven's really going to be like. I like to try to, but I know I can't. In my earthly mind, I just can't get a grip of it. I just can't imagine. But it would sure be sweeter if all my family and friends was there. And I want you, as we close and come to close, and I want you to think in your mind someone that you'd say, boy, heaven would be a whole lot sweeter if they was there with me. I'm sure we've got several on our minds. Heaven's sweet, and hell sure awful. And they're both for eternity. See, it's not if we lose some of these relationships, people that we love, and if they go to hell, they're not going to go there for 100 years. It's eternity. Forever and ever, as the Bible says, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And I want us, as we close, and I want us to think on this as I give the altar call this morning and ask God to show us, is there anything that we're putting too much attention to in this world? And ask, as we pray, I want you to ask Him, God, show me if there's something that I'm paying too much attention to that's causing me to lose my heavenly vision. So I don't want nothing stand between me and God. I don't want nothing. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be broke and go to heaven than have it all and miss heaven. I'd rather nobody know my name and go to heaven than my name be in lights and me go to hell. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again and we're so thankful
Lord, for your blessings. So thankful for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk one more time. So thankful, Father, today for your goodness. So thankful for the opportunities we have. And Lord, I pray today that as we pray now and we ask you, Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm too concerned with, that I'm paying too much attention to, and I'm too much of my mind on it, thinking about it, or involved in? Lord, I ask you this morning that you would just touch us as Christians, and Lord, if there be any here today that don't know you, that you'd deal with the heart of calling upon you as a Savior, as the only means of salvation, the only way to heaven. Father, I ask you that you'd stir our hearts today. Lord, you'd rebuke the devil and get his distractions out of this sanctuary this morning. Father, that you have a clear shot at our hearts. Speak to us in a special way. Deal with us, Lord, and convict us. And then God, encourage us and challenge us and equip us, Father, to be about the Father's business. Lord, we love you today and praise you and thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'll stand and turn to page 205. Page 205.
Will you come?
it, Jesus. We leave, and this came to my mind. Now this week, somebody's going to agitate you to no end. And for Rhonda, it'll be me. Somebody will agitate you. You'll be so aggravated and ready, it's like to pinch their head off. Pray for